Welcome to SCBC Podcast. And before I say anything else, I think I need to apologize that we haven't been on and releasing episodes regularly. So this is actually the first episode since 8 months ago. So we're going to have to make sure we are on top of it. And I promise we will release episodes way more regularly and frequently from now on. So please tune back in if you've thought that we just stopped doing these. We are going to get back to it. So thanks for tuning in for this episode. It's our first episode of season 4. And I am excited to be joined by two very special guests. And one is Caitlin Shipowich, used to be her last name. So many of you know her as Caitlin Shipowich, but now Caitlin Parker.
Whoop, whoop. Hello. Legally still Shipowich, but day by day, Parker.
Well, apparently, fun fact, legally you can claim both last names.
I've heard that. I'm too, like, to do that, just in case I don't get in trouble.
So anyhow, Caitlin Parker, our director of SCBC Kids. And if you're like, oh, wow, director of SCBC Kids, that's new. Yes, it's relatively recent, a title change for Caitlin. And actually, that's one of the reasons why we're doing this episode, to explain to our church family why and how that transition is happening. And I think you'll be excited to hear that she's increasing in her responsibility and role here at SCBC. And we also have Mary Gerson, who is our co-host usually for this podcast. However, today you're joining us as a guest, director of community life at our church. Also a relatively recent change of title and change of responsibility at our church. Also wanted to give you an opportunity to share about how that transition has been.
Sounds good.
So excited to have both of you. We are going to talk about a previous episode that we recorded almost 3 years ago.
Crazy.
So on July 14th, 2021, season one, episode 14 of our podcast. It was our first season. The episode was titled Cutting Edge Leadership Development. And we highlighted both of you as guests again at that time. And we really wanted to discuss the new Immerse program that you guys were entering into, which is a master's level, master's degree program through our seminary called Northwest Seminary and College. And at that time, you guys were kind of entering into the program. You had just finished. I recently listened to it again in preparation for this episode. You guys had just finished the application process, which was like over 30 hours.
And the assessment interviews, right?
Oh, yeah. It was a hardcore, stressful, very robust application process. Yeah. And you were just finished that. And you had just received approval officially to enter into the program. So now here we are almost 3 years later, and you're on the last leg of this journey in the Immerse program. And for those of you who don't know what the Immerse program is, it's a accredited master's level education program for training theological leaders, biblical leaders, and leaders for the church and parachurch organizations. So this is a very innovative way of training pastors, church staff, theologians, and so forth. And it's unique because it's more like a practical approach. Even though it has the theory, the education, and the robust and rigorous education behind it, it also has practical applications, kind of like being a carpenter who goes and apprentices under like a master carpenter and learns hands-on experience, hands-on skills. So this is what our equivalent here in the theology world, in the church world, is the Immerse program. It's called competency-based theological education, and or that's kind of what we do. It's very context-based. It's very practical. It happens at the church. It happens in your ministry areas. And you also still write a lot of papers and read, and you do a lot of research.
Books. Oh, I had to buy a second bookshelf.
Yes.
I had to buy a bookshelf.
So we'll get into all the programs. But before we get into the details of the program and the details of Mary and Caitlin's new roles, I just wanted to give full disclosure for our listeners that I'm also involved with Northwest. I'm on their board currently, Board of Governors, and I'm currently serving as their vice chair, also on the ACTS board at Trinity Western University, which is going through a big transition itself. And so we've just been very involved. I've also served as staff at Northwest at one point in my life. So I clearly love the church, so I'm a little bit biased. So I wanted to give you that full disclosure. If it sounds like I'm talking about the school in a very positive way, it is because I love them and I've always been a champion of their schools and their programs. And also the Fellowship Pacific. All three of us, I think I can safely say, we love being a part of the Fellowship. Our larger network of churches, our sister churches all over the province and all over the nation. We absolutely love being in partnership with them for the gospel work. So we're going to be talking about them a little bit here as well. So let's get into your experience. So I want to just start with, how has Immerse been? You've been in it for long enough now for you to really say you're veterans in this. You've lasted much longer than I have in the program. Caitlin, how has it been for you?
It's been a roller coaster, like a true roller coaster. When people ask, like, how's Immerse? Or, like, what is it? I'm like, well, it's kind of like a co-op. Because that's, like, terminology that people are really familiar with, like co-op apprenticeship, that kind of thing. But I was joking with someone recently of how I've not had a normal year in Immerse, and I use normal in quotation marks, because every year of, like, these 3 years, there's just been something that's like, oh, yeah, we're going smooth, wrench. Mm-hmm. Like, the Lord just, you know, throws life in, like we can title this podcast. Is it just... Yeah, it's been very, very challenging. I love the work that I'm doing in it. Like, when I'm studying and when I'm learning is so encouraging. And you just really, you know, the more you, like, immerse yourself, no pun intended, in, like, God's word, the more you see him in your everyday life and the more you can just see, like, the good things and the bad things and, like, everything in between that God is doing. And so that's just something that's really, really come to light in these past 3 years. That's been a really cool thing, just being more biblically literate, I think, has been such an incredible blessing for me in my own walk with Christ, but as well as those that I serve in ministry and just do life with every day. It's been really cool. So, yeah, challenging, but also very fulfilling and rewarding.
Yeah. And like I said, you're kind of at the last leg here. You're almost finished the program. And I think... Like you said, I think the beauty of the Immerse program is that life happens, and the Immerse program is able to adapt with you. But the challenge of it is you're doing ministry and you're doing schooling and you're doing life all at the same time. Quite a few things have happened, like we alluded to earlier. You have a different last name.
Yep.
You entered into a new season of life with marriage and everything. And then, of course, there's a significant loss in your life as well, with the loss of your dad. Do you want to share a little bit about your experience being at the Immerse seminar and experiencing some of the pain?
Yeah. So, like, after the podcast that we did in July of, you know, excited to be in Immerse, looking forward to the retreat, the program and everything, in September, we had our retreat, and my dad passed away on the last day of that retreat. Thankfully, Mary was there. Otherwise, I honestly don't know what I would have done. But it was a very bittersweet start to Immerse. Realistically, I didn't honestly start my work until like November, December, January, just because of the grieving process and helping my mom and all that. But it was such a cool experience because, like, looking back on it, the blessing of it was that I was surrounded by this absolutely incredible community that I'd known for, like, what, 3 days? And they all just came around me and prayed with me before they sent us off. And so it was, as, like, much of a, like, crappy start as it was such a blessing. And then, like, that year really didn't start for me until the new year, because life happens and grief and trying to navigate that with my family. But like, looking back, when my dad was diagnosed originally, I kind of like pulled away from the community and felt very alone of my own doing. Like, people were still very encouraging and like wanted me around, but I pulled back because of myself. And, like, in this moment, another, like, you almost grieve twice, like, grieve when they're diagnosed and then grieve when they pass. It was such a different experience to just be surrounded by believers that really set me up for success in the grieving process, which in turn, I think, helped it go. It never really goes smoothly, I think, from my experience, but it set it up for me to be a lot more emotionally and spiritually healthy throughout it than when I pulled away before. So... it was an interesting start to Immerse.
It was. And I think your cohort, if you will, if your colleagues who entered into Immerse together, I think they all started to remember you for that. Because like you said, it was early in your journey with these colleagues. And they all kind of remembered, oh, it's Caitlin that we prayed for, for her dad. And so I think that's real life. And I think I've always said one of the biggest advantages of doing a program like Immerse is that you find friends and brothers and sisters along the way.
Totally.
And it's not just classmates. It's a little bit deeper of a relationship that you get to build. When we go to Impact every year, which is our convention that happens every year for our fellowship, I find that you guys, you two, have more familiar faces than many of our other staff members.
Yeah.
Because you get to meet people through the program.
Yeah. I think the blessing with that, too, is, like, you meet, like, yes, you have, like, they're going through the fire with you with school. They're also in ministry, so they know what that's like, you know, whatever their kind of role is. But also, like, when we need resources, like as a group of churches, you know, the fellowship's all about encouraging each other and helping each other. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one thing that I've really seen is through Immerse, there's a couple other people who are in kids ministry specifically that I know in the program who are just amazing people.
Yes.
Just amazing humans, beautiful brothers and sisters in Christ, so like passionate about kids ministry, which I love because I think some people see it as either like a small role or a stepping stone or something. Mm-hmm. But it's really just incredible to see people that are also just passionate about seeing kids learn and grow, and not just kids, but families like learn and grow and develop together in the Bible. And so making those connections with them and just being like, hey, do you have resources for this?
Yes.
Can I see this? What are you doing for your summer camps? Can you send me that document? Yeah. I would love to see that. Mm-hmm. So those kind of things, that's been one of the like, I want to say surprising, but like, it's not something that was on my mind of like coming out of Immerse, was like having these contacts from other churches in ministry to be like rely on, which has been such a cool bonus of the program.
And even our relationship too, which I think has been really beautiful. Cause I remember, cause I had been thinking about doing the program for a while and Paul and I had talked about it years before I actually started, but it didn't, like the timing just never seemed right. And I remember that first Cornerstone and everything that happened and driving with you home and just realizing like, oh my gosh, I think this is why this, well, for a number of things, but also like,
it didn't work out till now.
And like how I could be there for you and how that shaped our relationship. And I even remember we had a number of like, well, what I thought were maybe challenging conversations, because I remember talking in that first year, and because everything that you went through, like you weren't able to do as much, and I was doing a lot, and always because of my own insecurity, feeling like, oh, I don't think I can really talk to Caitlin about this because I don't want to like rub it in her face or whatever. And then I remember we just you are an amazing individual, but having this conversation and sort of sharing that with you, and you looking at me and be like, Mary, I am like here to do it myself, but also to cheerlead for you, and it was a beautiful moment where I realized like, oh, it's actually because my own insecurity that I didn't want to share life with you. Mm-hmm. And then in realizing like, oh no, we are sharing life. And Caitlin is a mature, incredible, godly individual who can like hold two things at once, like your own grieving process. And also like the fact that you love and wanted to support me. Mm-hmm. So I think that's been particularly beautiful too.
Yeah. I mean, and the beauty of that is like, obviously our relationship growing, but you've already done all the assignments that I'm now trying to do. So I have like an inside scoop of like, hey, what did you do for this? Can you give me a little like hint?
Do you want my books when I'm done with them?
Yes. Obviously, our ministry context is very different. Yeah. But so like our assignments look quite different. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of the ones that I found at least are very geared towards pastoral specific ministry, and not that kids ministry isn't as like a pastoral ministry, but like preaching and exegesis and all of this, which is so incredibly important to know, but not necessarily a direct part of my role. So a lot of ours, mine at least, we have to kind of, when it's like teach in front of a large group or within your context, like you would be with like your hospitality leaders or community group leaders or people like that, whereas I'm like, cool, let me go like teach Sunday school or do a kids activity. Like very different terminology. Still skill, I would say, that requires, it requires a lot of skill to teach to kids, honestly. Like,
absolutely.
It's not always easy to bring.
And I suck at it. Yeah. You're very good at it.
To bring these huge concepts down to like these little people who understand a lot more than we give them credit for. But also, if you're talking about like hermeneutics or exegesis, they kind of just look at you blankly like, not that I've tried that, but you know, the faces they make are just precious, but.
Yes.
You got to bring it to their level.
Absolutely. So, it's a different skill set. And I think this is one of the, again, another kind of upside to doing a program like this where you get to customize a little bit, mm-hmm. where they understand, oh, yeah, your ministry context requires this skill set, so we should hone that mm-hmm. Rather than, you know, I think being a generalist is good.
Yeah.
I think that's a really important skill to work at a church. But to be able to specifically hone in to the skills you're actually going to need,
yeah.
I think that's really good.
Yeah. Not to say that it doesn't make you branch out with other assignments,
yeah,
because
yeah.
it very much does.
Yes.
Like some of them have been meeting with leaders from other churches in a similar and different contexts, or like meeting with evangelists, like people mm-hmm. who are good at that. You know, as much as our ministry is an evangelical ministry, like mm-hmm. we want to preach and teach the gospel to kids in our church and beyond, I'm not, you know, out on the streets and outreach yeah. ministry. So it's just a very different context, but mm-hmm. it's cool to get out in those different contexts
yeah.
and see just how different ministries run.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And just broadens your, I think, perspective a little
yeah,
bit,
exactly.
which is always helpful for us to grow as individuals and professionally.
Mm-hmm.
But you guys kind of talked about relying on this community that you found in the Immerse program, just both with your mentors and your cohort, your colleagues, your friends. But at the same time, I think you contribute to that community too, which is beautiful to see. We are in a church setting where we're very involved with the fellowship. I would say probably one of the most involved. We love and support them. They love and support us.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just happily engaged in what they do on our behalf and not on our behalf, in partnership with us, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So I like seeing how you guys have been able to contribute to the fellowship as well, especially in our circle. You guys being young women in this field and in our church network is not the most common. And I think that's been awesome and wonderful to see as well. So I think there's a lot you guys are contributing, and you will continue to contribute even after you graduate, because of those relationships that are built within the fellowship. They already recognize you as people that they can trust. And I think that's always a good thing. It's always a good thing for you guys personally, also as churches collectively. We're always stronger together, and we're in partnership together for the gospel. And you guys aren't just now tag-alongs. You guys are legitimate people on that platform, equally capable, equally given a platform to do many different kind of things in the fellowship, even just outside of our church.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's exciting for me to see personally. Young people given the opportunity and for them to succeed in it is always good to see. Mary, I know a lot of life happened to you as well throughout the last mm-hmm. 3 years or so. So can you share your journey of how Immerse has been for you?
Yeah. The biggest thing, and a lot of our church family would know that, this, but it was my concussion last
yes.
year. So it was January, what year is it right now? January 2023 mm-hmm. is when I had my concussion. And pretty much it was almost like a whole year off of
yes.
school, essentially. Like I maybe did a few assignments, but I didn't touch anything till June again.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was...
Well, especially because your symptoms impacted your sight.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
my
like
sight and my memory,
read.
Like kind of
yeah.
the main oh, things you yes. need
so
to learn.
Yeah.
It was so brutal and like unexpectedly brutal. And
mm-hmm.
So the first year... Yeah, sorry, the dates are confusing me. But the first year was pretty good, pretty seamless. I got a lot done. And then so this would have been halfway through the second year when this happened. And then I had to sort of take the whole calendar year off. So now I'm like halfway through the third year. And I'll be done at the end of this year. But it has definitely been also a roller coaster in like
mm-hmm.
productivity, interest, ability mm-hmm. in being able to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And this last year... post-concussion has also been interesting because though now I have like the capacity again and the mm-hmm. interest, and I love it because I'm kind of a school learning dork a little bit
mm-hmm.
and I love it and I, it's what I would choose to do in my free time. But at the same time, my brain is different than it was when I started the program.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to study differently. I have to read differently. I have to choose different assignments based on what I can actually do because I still do have problems. Reading and retaining information. Like I can read now again because my eyes are working,
mm-hmm.
but just my ability to retain short-term information, short-term memory is really different. So it takes me so much longer to read and so much longer to work things out.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, it's been good and I've had so much support and I love it. It's just, you know, I thought I was at a point in my life where I like knew what kind of learner I was and knew how to do this. And then my literal brain changed. So it's been really interesting, but everyone has been quite gracious with me. And the last couple months have been really good. And I feel like I'm back in a swing of things again. So yeah. It's been good.
Yeah, it's good to see you kind of rebound from that and mm-hmm. not just rebound, like you said, to the same, you know, status quo, but actually you have to adapt and change things. Like literally how do you read, how you retain mm-hmm. and how you process things. I know like working with you closely, even outside of the Immerse program, we've had to like learn to write things down, yeah. send messages, not verbal communications yes. as much. I think those are like you oversee a program called SCBC Tutoring in our church where we support people with dyslexia. And I really want to do a study. This is a sidebar, but I really want to do a study on people with dyslexia. Oftentimes I find are extremely successful in their careers. And I wonder if it's because at an early age they had to develop different skill sets that most other kids don't have to.
Yeah.
But they have to overcome
yeah.
a challenge mm-hmm. of something what, you know, what the average Canadian would see as a simple task of reading and writing.
Mm-hmm.
And those essential but simple but also at the same time very complex skill sets are extremely complicated for someone who has dyslexia.
Mm-hmm.
And they need to kind of come up with other systems and ways to overcome some of the challenges that they innately have. And I believe, I haven't done the research, I think there must be research out there that shows that exercise of overcoming that
mm-hmm.
broadens their ability to apply to leadership skills and others. Because I know, for example, when you learn a second language, there has been studies that shows that it helps other developmental stuff like math,
mm-hmm. yeah.
completely unrelated, seemingly at least. But it helps you broaden it because you're learning a whole different world mm-hmm. out there. And I believe it's similar to what you've done. What you've shown is coming out of the concussion, having to relearn things, not when you're age 5 or 6, when you're like developmentally
old.
When it's yeah, it's easier to do when you're 5 or 6 yeah. than when you are in your mid to late 20s. Mm-hmm. And speaking of which, when you guys started this journey, you guys were both kind of in the early to mid 20s, and now you're transitioning more into the mid to late. And I know that's still quite young. As our listeners hear this, they're going to be like, oh, that's still really young. But I mean, a lot of life happens in that.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very important time of our lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And very formative, like both of you experiencing life-changing mm-hmm. things, whether it's a medical concussion in your case, mm-hmm. in your case, a loss, and also marriage.
Mm-hmm.
The bittersweet, I think the word you used, I think, is very apt for what mm-hmm. you've gone through.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is what schooling should really be. It shouldn't mm-hmm. be on its own category. It should be mixed with everything because that's how real vocational yeah. ministry looks like.
Yeah.
And as you guys continue in your vocational ministry, I think this is how life will be. One of the hard things we've talked about on this podcast, one of the hard things for us is we always say vocational ministry, who, you know, people who work for churches, we don't have a harder job than anyone else. Both of your spouses have really good careers mm-hmm. and they're really good at what they do. And we won't dare say our job is more important or harder.
Mm-hmm.
What we will say is it's different. And that's mm-hmm. just a fact. One of the challenges that we have in our work is the blurring of the lines of personal, mm-hmm. professional life. We call our church to be family.
Mm-hmm.
We ask our staff to be family. So we operate slightly differently than many other staff do. And because of that, when we grieve, like our pastor Jason at the time of recording this episode have recently lost his sister. And he shared that journey and invited our whole church family into that mm-hmm. grief and mourning, as you both have done in your own grieving.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is one of the beautiful advantages of working for a church and also some of the challenges. We can't mm-hmm. just turn off those things. We ask our people to be vulnerable and real and authentic, and we have to lead by example. And sometimes that comes with some pressures of its own. And I think you both have handled those situations very well. And I think Immerse has given you the opportunity to continue. Hey, this is life.
Mm-hmm.
Life, like you said, Caitlin, has wrenches in them. Whether it's opportunities for us to grow closer to Christ,
mm-hmm.
whether it's opportunities to train our hearts to know loss so that we can sympathize with people that we're serving.
Mm-hmm.
We just read a book last week in our staff, well, yesterday, I guess, in our staff meeting, and the book said, adversity should not be wasted, right? Mm-hmm. Adversity is mm-hmm. too precious for us to waste. We have to learn and grow from it. And I think you both have exemplified that very well. So very proud of you. If I were to ask you guys about one thing that you've learned, I know there's lots, but one thing you've learned in the Immerse program so far, what do you guys think would be, it could be content related, it could be a skill that you've picked up or new perspective.
Hmm. Speed reading. That's one skill I've got, had to get very good at.
Yeah.
Because my mentors are amazing, and one of them in particular loves the critical readings.
Mm.
And I need to read many, many, many books this year to be able to finish.
Yes.
So skim reading and speed reading is one skill that I've had to develop that I don't enjoy because I love reading.
Yes.
Like, I'm a reader
for,
like, learning and just for fun. I love reading. You can ask my husband.
Yeah.
But so it kind of kills my heart to have to, like, you know, speed read and, like, skim.
Power through it.
Exactly. Yeah. But I think it's a pretty cool skill to have learned to pick out, like, the important parts and, like, go quickly. I do need a very silent environment to do so, which can be much of a challenge, but we're getting there.
Yes. I think it's interesting that you say that because 90%, 99% of the people who are listening to this probably haven't gone through the same kind of program, training program, or work in a similar setting as us. And they might wonder, what do you guys do as your staff, right? They see what we do on Sundays. Yeah. They see what we do when we put on events. But day to day, really, it is a lot of reading. It is just like other industries. We have lots to read, tons to read. And it's not even just all Bible books. They think, oh, they must read a lot of commentary. We do. We read a lot of theological books, keep up to date, a lot of articles, current. We got to keep current on the conversations, the discourses that's out there. But then also it's like during the pandemic, I read more legal and medical health orders and trying to interpret all of that. Right now, I'm reading a lot of accounting stuff. It's we just wrapped up audit season. There's questions, employment handbooks, government documents. For you, you're reading grant application forms and hundreds and hundreds of pages.
I actually blocked that out already.
Your new superpower from your concussion.
What grant application?
But there's actually, on a day-to-day basis, we read a lot. This is why, like, I apologize, readers or listeners, if you've recommended reading blog articles or books that, hey, you should read this. I'm sure they're all great. Sometimes I am able to read your recommendations, but most of the times, to be honest, I can't. Not because I'm being disrespectful or brushing your recommendation aside, but because, for school, for our work, there's usually, I probably read at least a couple hundred pages a day. Like, most of my job, I would say, is reading. Whether it's in the form of documents, books, transcripts, like it's
I mean, emails
reading.
Is reading too.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Sometimes that takes a significant amount of time. So yeah, reading is a big part of it. So even something as simple as speed reading is actually quite essential for what we do.
Yeah.
So that's good. How about you, Mary? What's a
definitely
skill set?
Not speed reading. That's something that currently is quite impossible for me. But what I would probably say is communication and probably specifically direct communication. And so this is something that I was learning even in my first year, because the Immerse program is something that you really have to take ownership of for yourself.
Yes.
Like, assumptions aren't going to work. Expectations that aren't clear aren't going to work. It's just going to lead to more work and confusion with your professors and mentors. So learning to communicate directly all of the thoughts or expectations or questions that I have. I'm kind of known, I think, by a lot of our staff and professors as, like, the one who sends all the emails with all the questions. Because I've been referenced in classes before for doing that. But then especially with my concussion, too, learning communication. Yeah. And Paul and I talked about this in a previous podcast episode where I was talking about my concussion, but just in, like, communicating my needs, because again, people aren't going to be able to rightly assume. Expectations that aren't verbalized and agreed upon are not good expectations. And so for both my personal life and my schooling, I've really had to learn to just, like, don't overthink it. Don't think, oh, I got this. Just ask the questions, be direct. And it's also, I think, then in turn really helped me grow in confidence too, because most, like, nice mature people, like, aren't gonna make you feel stupid for it or whatever. In fact, like, they're like, oh, thank you for asking that, like, I've been meaning to talk about this or whatever. So I think I think that's what I would say, which I'm quite happy about, because that's a life skill. So I feel like, even though this is all because of school, it's actually gonna specific carry into my life and my future. So
yeah, I was gonna say that as well. It was probably one of the biggest things is like
communicating,
but also like learning, like the crucial conversations assignment that I'm currently in the midst of.
Okay.
It's a very crazy skill, and I wouldn't say I'm the best communicator, but I'm also, I don't think I'm the worst. Am I the best at communicating my needs all the time? No. But it is an incredible skill. And also a sidebar, as someone who has a friend, but also a student in Immerse who has greatly benefited from all of your questions that you've asked, just the Immerse team and everything. Thank you.
Keep at it.
Yeah, anytime. We appreciate it.
Well, listeners, if you wanted to talk to Mary or Caitlin about what they have learned or how the program has been, if you're just interested in how they're doing, take them out for coffee. You guys pay because they're students still. So but take them out for coffee or lunch or whatever and hear from them. It's tremendously encouraging how God has used these women to lead and serve. And I think that's been fantastic to watch and be a part of. I haven't been the best mentor. I think that's publicly documented now. I would like to think I'm very available to Mary, especially because Sue Gibson has been our director of family ministries, has been Caitlin's direct mentor officially. And I have been for Mary along with two other mentors for each of them. I've been there, I think, for Mary to like bounce ideas off of and work and stuff. But I haven't been up to date on grading the assignments. I'm a part of a team that
yeah, it depends on what you mean by mentor. Because, yes, you are fantastic in person. Online, not so much.
Yes. and I think the time has been interesting, even for me personally, the busyness that we've all walked through. As much as life has happened to you guys, it's also happened to me over the last 3 years, and we've been walking through it together. Lots of grace and love in it all, so I very much appreciated that. I want to read what I wrote. I think I wrote this a couple years ago when we did that episode in season one, when we had you guys on as a guest. This is what the kind of blurb says in explaining the episode. It says, in this episode, we discuss our new leadership development plan for Mary and Caitlin, two young leaders at our church who have shown great potential and a track record of excellence. The Immerse program is a unique, innovative approach to leadership development and seminary training in partnership with the local church, Northwest Seminary and College, and the Fellowship Pacific. This cutting-edge program leads to a Master of Divinity degree, but more importantly, it provides an academically rigorous and practically effective training ground for Christian leaders. I would say in 3 years, I've seen that happen, right? The theological content that you had to wrestle with and develop and learn has been absolutely there. The Immerse program, just because it's more of an apprenticeship program, doesn't mean the academic part of it lacks. It's actually really robust. It's not an easier program than the traditional classroom. I would argue it's a more difficult one.
I would agree.
But you guys have risen to the challenge, and like both of you have already highlighted, it hasn't been all smooth sailing. It has been ups and downs, but I think overall you guys are doing fantastic. I encourage you to finish well as well. Both of you are pretty close, and I'm looking forward to that day when you cross that stage with your accomplishments celebrated by the whole church family. One thing I do want to kind of highlight as we close this episode is your new responsibilities at our church. Through the Immerse program, our goal was always for you guys to both end up being directors in your respective fields. So in Caitlin's case, director of SCBC Kids, and in Mary's case, director of Community Life. Their title was coordinator before, both of them, and they used to coordinate lots. And now they have been gradually increasing in their responsibility to the point where they're directing and leading. In Mary's case, it would be the hospitality team, SCBC tutoring, Starfish Pack, and some of the community group and other community life event-oriented stuff. And for Caitlin's case, it would be the SBC Kids, but also some of the families that are engaged with the kids program. Tons of volunteers that she oversees and leads. Sue Gibson used to be the director of family ministries, which encompasses everything, including the SBC Kids. But Caitlin, you've increased in your hours here, and you have taken over the leadership of SCBC Kids. How has that transition been? And what can families expect now that you're the director of SCBC Kids? What can they expect from you?
Yeah, it's it's been a really cool, I mean, I'm very thankful for the title change. Logistically, Sue and I have kind of been running this way for about the past year.
Yes.
As if I'm director of SDBC Kids, yeah. Just in that, while I know she's always there for me and she is wonderful and whatever I need support in, mm-hmm. she's kind of given me the reins to take over our like kids meetings, yeah. the programming, the volunteer coordination. Basically, when you think of like kids ministries, anything that's kind of the on the ground, make it happen, I would say would more fall under me, whereas Sue is the more with director of family life, the more life side of it, yeah. the like meeting with families and any care and like that needs happening, that's kind of more Sue, and she obviously is involved with SDBC Kids yeah. still because she is amazing and can do many things, and she also helps with women's ministry. But for me, it just means that I've taken over coordinating the volunteers, the day-to-day runnings of the ministries, the special events. That's not new, but it's there. So yeah, when you just think of kids programs, anything that kind of falls under that umbrella kind of falls under me now. Mm-hmm. Also, Sue's there for all of it, yeah. but it's a really encouraging team that we've built together and how we work together to make this ministry something that is amazing for the kids, but also the families. Like, mm-hmm. that's our goal with family life and SDBC Kids, you know, kind of being two sides of the same coin, where we want to, in the limited time that we have throughout the year, on Sunday mornings and like some events, we want to just pour into your kids, mm-hmm. pour into the kids of our church, and just help them understand who Jesus is and how much he loves them. Like, our whole theme of the preschool and kindergarten room yes. is Jesus wants to be your best friend forever.
Yes.
Like, such a simple yet profound, like, you think of it, oh yeah, of course. But when you think of the implications of a best friend, like, so profound. So our goal is really just to like pour Jesus' love on the kids of our church. Mm-hmm. And the family side of it is we want to help equip families to raise their kids as disciples of Christ. Whether that's giving them resources or opportunities to learn. Like, in May, we have a family event coming up where we're bringing someone in to help work with parents and how to parent through anxiety in this, like,
yes.
highly anxious society that we live in. We see more and more kids yes. struggling with that. So we're
yeah.
trying to partner with our families so they can get to know one another and also parent their kids through this. So stuff like that we're looking forward to, just new events and really leaning into the fact that our church is growing young. And we're seeing more and more families yes. all the time. We would love, our goal is to see everyone connected to each other so that, you know, like, our church isn't a standalone church. You know, we're part of a group of other churches. Mm-hmm. Families aren't standalone families. They're mm-hmm. part of this fellowship in our yeah. church that we want to see each other love and grow yeah. and succeed and just feel like they're part of this community and they're valued.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's fantastic. So, yeah, Caitlin is directing our kids ministry now, and Sue Gibson, shout out to Sue. She's done a fantastic job, ooh, ooh. Not only mentoring Caitlin personally, mm-hmm. which has been huge, but also allowing Caitlin to be prepared for this mm-hmm. So that she can, like you've yeah. heard, it's not like a momentary thing. Oh, now you have all the reins. Mm-hmm. It's actually been a gradual increase of responsibilities. Mm-hmm. And Caitlin, so this title change is really an affirmation of things that she has already been doing well. But Sue has been instrumental in setting mm-hmm. her up for success. Yeah. So thank you,
yes.
Sue,
for giving me the opportunities
yes.
to try yeah. and not necessarily succeed perfectly, but then try again and keep going and being encouraging through all of it. So thank yeah. you, Sue. You are, and will always be, the most wonderful partner in Christ to work with.
Yeah. And Sue loves you, obviously, and, mm-hmm. and finds great joy in being there for you and doing this with you. Mm-hmm. So I think this title change is an affirmation from our church family, from mm-hmm. Sue, from all of us, to say you are doing a great job, and we continue to invest in you because we see that our families will be better off being led by you, served by you, and we love seeing that happening mm-hmm. already. And we love Sue's investment in you and allowing for that mm-hmm. to happen. So Mary, for yourself, there's some specific things just even very recently that you've taken on, mm-hmm. but you want to share with the church family to let mm-hmm. them know what those things are?
Yeah. So my job has always consisted of some internal ministry things as well as our outreach programs. Mm-hmm. And that would be SDBC tutoring and Starfish. Mm-hmm. Probably the most recent thing and the biggest thing has been taking on hospitality.
Yes.
I think that's what you're referring to. Is there anything else?
Mostly.
Mostly hospitality. Yeah.
And then there's other one-off things like the refugee sponsorship.
Yeah,
and
involvement okay, in there. Okay. And, this is my brain now. I just have to make sure I know everything. But yeah, so taking on hospitality, which has been totally new and a huge undertaking of just learning the ministry, bringing people together, having meetings with our hospitality team to hear them, hear their experience thus far and their hopes and dreams for the Sunday morning hospitality ministry, because it's often someone from our hospitality team that people meet for the first time when they come on a Sunday. So I've had the privilege to hear a lot of stories and get to know our volunteers even more. And we've been able to put a few new things in place for the team. So now we meet on Sunday mornings together and we have a time of sharing logistics, but also praying for each other and praying for our church, which has been a wonderful time. And I just want to say for any of our hospitality people who are listening, like, thank you for your excitement and interest. It has been such an encouraging thing. I mean, when I took it on, I was excited, but I was also, to be honest, quite overwhelmed with the breadth and width of learning everything and trying to put new things into place. But the excitement and encouragement that all of our volunteers have met us with has been so amazing. So I love you all very much. And I am always here to hear ideas or listen to concerns because our ministry is about people, and you guys are people, and the new people are people. And I just want to make myself available to love and support everyone in this ministry. So it has been wonderful. But also outside of my job on staff too, I've had a lot of interesting opportunities with the fellowship as well. I got to teach at the seminary this year, which was wonderful. They have a gap year program for undergrad students. And so I got to teach a few classes there, and that was cool. So yeah, I feel really encouraged this year, especially after a year of having to say no to so many things and protect myself and you know, really slow down. It's been a good year of growing and learning and pushing myself.
I think it's exciting to see both of you take on these new responsibilities and start to really make it your own and start directing it. Obviously, within our whole church culture, our elders, our staff, we're all working together. It's not like we're siloed off, but it is nice to see you guys actually giving leadership and directing. And honestly, in our world, directing and giving leadership, including myself, is serving. We talked about this a few weeks ago in our staff meeting as we are going through a book study together. You know, for us, leadership is serving. We lead people by serving them. We serve them by leading them. And I love the opportunity to do it. And it's humbling oftentimes because we do serve a beautiful church family. Overall, we always kind of talk about as a staff how much we love being a part of this community. And we're very thankful for you listeners. So thank you. You guys deserve a lot of the credit here, too. You guys have been supporting Caitlin and Mary. So for many years, for many of you, praying for them, tangibly supporting them, serving under their leadership and allowing them to thrive. So thank you for your support and love for them. We just kind of also wanted to talk about what we could pray for you guys. Taking on more responsibility almost always comes with great opportunities and challenges as well. So are there any things that we should be praying for as you guys continue on in this new role that you guys are taking?
For me, I would say two things. So one is specifically school related because I am nearing the end. I am actually finishing up this summer and I'll graduate in the fall. And so it's now at the point where I literally have six assignments left and my final project. So it's like so close, but still so much effort needed. So like Paul said, finishing strong and finishing well for school would be really appreciated. Also, if you're around in October, the graduation's here, so feel free to come.
At our church, literally.
Literally here. And then for work, I think it would just be, because I do have such a heart for all of you guys and for people and loving people. And sometimes when things get really busy, it can be easy to, you know, say, oh, I don't have time for this coffee meeting, or I gotta just do these emails before I can do anything else. But just to keep my sight, well, first, set on the Lord, but then also on loving you guys and serving you guys. So just, I think focus and a constant
reminder of what I'm doing, and that is loving people.
Mm-hmm. Kelly?
Yeah, I would say prayer as well for just school, for things to go well. Yeah. I'm on a good groove now of good rhythms, I'd say more healthy rhythms of being able to get schoolwork done. I won't graduate this fall, but I'm hoping to be done by the end of 2024, which means technically I would graduate in the fall of next year. But my goal is to not have anything that I have to do as of January 2025. So just prayer that I can continue to develop these healthy rhythms of doing school, but also just pray for our ministry. We've grown so much this last little bit. We're logistically already thinking of September our groupings of ages that are not going to work as they have been these past couple of years, just by way of how many kids we have. So just pray for our ministry and for volunteers to come forward, because like I said, we have such an incredible group of families, and it's only getting bigger. And so we really want to love on these families well and continue our program with excellence as we have been doing, I believe. And so, yeah, just pray for the ministry that the Lord would give us wisdom in how to, I don't say disciple parents to disciple their kids, but just walk alongside parents as they disciple their kids, and how we can get involved in their lives to be able to encourage this. But also just for the ministry that we can continue to grow in our volunteers to provide for these families.
Yeah. As we end here, I want to give you your flowers just publicly. So I was at a membership class recently, and we call it a class, but it's really a gathering. It's our meaningful connections, part of our slogan. And these new potential members who were seeking membership, they're relatively new to our church, and they've been experiencing us for a few months. And they've actually mentioned both of your ministry areas as what was compelling and one of the reasons why they decided to make this their home church. One of the things was when you guys do date nights, they don't have young children anymore, these particular people that mentioned it, but they said, I love a church that does this. What a great idea.
Yeah.
Young families need rest, but also opportunity to build connections. And what a way to facilitate it by, humbly serving them by taking their kids and allowing them to have fun at the church while the parents go out and do double night date nights like we do with
other couples. I mean, we love
couples.
It too.
And I think that's been kind of really cool to see new people engaging with us recognize that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That, I see your heart in this. And also, Mary, you oversee, obviously, our communion lunches. That's has been a huge hit for our community. Mm-hmm. And they also mentioned that. Like, hey, you guys are a larger church that pretends to be a small church. We love that. Like, we love the emphasis on community, even the hospitality team. Like, last few weeks even, the pre-meal meetings that we've been having and that you've been leading, and many people, just the excitement to welcome people. They said, right when we walked in on our first Sunday, we recognized this is a hospitable church. We're like, huh, that's nice to hear, because our desire is to be radically hospitable and meaningfully connecting all the time. And they recognized it before we fed them our slogan and everything. And I think that speaks highly of how you guys have contributed to our church culture. And so great job. Extremely proud of both of you. Positive on how we have experienced your leadership so far. And we're looking forward to continuing to see you guys continue to grow. This isn't the end, right? Like, we all continue to grow. So
hopefully it's not the end.
Church family, pray for Kaylin, pray for Mary, pray for our church. Thank you for your support. And we will see you hopefully soon in a new episode. Thanks for joining us.